The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Stop right here. Hold it. This is Michael Savage. We're breaking into my opening. I have good news, very good news. Federal jury acquits ex-Marine in Iraqi's deaths. God bless America. A former Marine named Jose Luis Nazario Jr., who I have talked about and we sent money to, was just found not guilty of charges that he killed or caused others to kill four unarmed detainees in 2004 in Fallujah, Iraq. God bless America. And all I can say is this: I am so glad for this man, and I'm so ashamed of the U.S. Marines who try to do this to Jose Luis Nazario Jr., but God bless America. I'm glad that we were able to send him some money. Now let's go back to the opening of the Savage Nation.
I think it already has sent a wave of approbation and admiration in many countries around the world, just knowing that this black boy who grew up with just a loving mother.
Let's stop right here. This is Jimmy Carter calling Barack Obama this black boy. Now, I played this three times yesterday. Friends of mine who listen to this show tell me they did not even hear Jimmy Carter say it, even though I played it. I want to play it again until you understand what is going on. Listen to it again.
I think it already has sent a wave of approbation and admiration in many countries around the world, just knowing that this black boy who grew up with just a loving...
Let me explain something to you. Nobody in the American media will play this clip. Nobody heard this. What else haven't you heard coming out of the left? If you will not listen to the fact that Jimmy Carter called Barack Hussein Obama this black boy, if you will not accept that fact, what is it that you're not accepting about Barack Hussein Obama that is staring you in the face? Well, a lot of things that should worry you. It came out today that Barack Hussein Obama is to the left of the only avowed socialist in the U.S. Senate, and that is a character from Vermont whose name I forget. Some Brooklynese-speaking guy from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, I think is his name, who is not only a laughingstock but an absolute moron, makes no sense, but he's an avowed socialist. Well, it turns out that that socialist, Bernie Sanders from Vermont, is to the right of Barack Hussein Obama. Now, you have to ask yourself, how does a guy like Obama, who is to the left of a socialist in the Senate, get this far? The answer is because the media is a combination of lazy and fellow travelers. The answer is the midstream media are exactly what we have been saying about them. They are a clear and present threat to your survival. Now, today's show on the Savage Nation is going to be called Liberals Gone Wild. I try to give each show a name. Today's show is called Liberals Gone Wild. Far-left talk show host here in the Bay Area, Bernie Ward, was sentenced today to 7 years in jail on child pornography charges. He's a liberal gone wild. There are some who would say that Bernie Ward didn't actually do anything, that his actions didn't harm anyone. But what Bernie Ward did was the equivalent of forcing children to act in pornographic movies. His acts, by looking at those images, in fact encouraged the selling of children into the worst kind of sexual slavery imaginable. It is the sickest, most perverted, most disgusting violation of morality possible, and it's the logical consequence of an ideology, liberalism, which teaches you that if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? And yet the media is ignoring Bernie Ward today. Why? Why are they ignoring this liberal talker? Because the liberal media is busy anointing Barack Hussein Obama as its messiah. But Barack Obama is just another liberal gone wild. The midstream media won't report it, but Barack Obama is the biggest leftist in the Democratic Party. He's even further left than the socialist Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Did you know any of this? Look at his voting record. You've got to look at his voting record. You can check it out on michaelsavage.com. Did I compile it? No. The Associated Press compiled it, the voting record of Barack Obama. Obama voted against tougher sentences for gangbangers and drug dealers, voted against it. He was against making it harder for abusive parents to get custody of their kids. He voted against a bill to stop the early release of convicted sexual abusers. The same kind of sexual abusers who provided Bernie Ward with his vile, disgusting child pornography. So even though the leftist media refuses to link the two of them, I, Michael Savage, will. Bernie Ward and Barack Obama are both liberals gone wild. And these liberal socialists are about to take over the country unless you're willing to stand up and stop them. Are you thinking of voting for none of the above? You better think again. This is Michael Savage, and I approve of my monologue. Let's have some opening music, Ray. A little opening music on the Savage Nation, and then I'll go to the various and sundry events of the political sphere here. That's all. So the lion of the left, the L-Y-I-N, the lion of the left, the liar of the left, was given 7 years today. You know, we were told to expect Judge Walker to, you know, basically let him walk. But the prosecutor asked for 9 years for Bernie Ward, and the defense attorney asked for five, and he gave him seven some odd years. 9:40 a.m., according to KGO-TV. Channel 7. This is KNEW in San Francisco, by the way. Get it right. 9:40 a.m., Bernie Ward arrives. He gets out of the family SUV. His daughter hugs him, and his wife and three of his four kids accompany him into the federal building. Ward was stone-faced and didn't answer when the reporter asked, Bernie, any words for your fans and supporters? That's mean, Dan. Come on. 10:20 a.m., courtroom opens. 10:30 a.m., Ward walks into court with wife and three of their children. Hugged special friends. He's sitting in the third row, wife and children in front row. 10:30 a.m., more security than at last court appearance. 10:46 a.m., judge officially accepts Ward's guilty plea. 10:48 a.m., just spent several minutes discussing a report about complaints when Ward was priest years ago. Judge decides while these complaints may go to his character, these events happened too long ago to be relevant to the sentencing. 10:50 a.m., defense argues that Ward's use of computer should not add additional time to Ward's sentence as prosecution wishes. 10:57 a.m., judge decides that the use of the computer should be an enhancement. 11 a.m., Ward's attorney says this is one of the saddest, if not the saddest, day of my career and pleads for 5 year sentence. 11:11 a.m., prosecutor says he traded in the currency of human suffering, of children's suffering. 11:19 a.m., Ward speaks, I take full responsibility. 11:24 a.m., Ward is told probation officer, Ward tells probation officer he was abused as a youngster from the 5th to 7th grade. 11:26 a.m., he's sentenced to 7 some odd years. This is the Savage Nation. You know, you shouldn't gloat in anyone, you know, getting it. The fact of the matter is it's a monstrous problem. And he's going away. Whether he'll get out early is another question. Whether he even – let's leave it at that. Bernie Ward sentenced to 7-plus years for child porn conviction. And his sentence could be reduced by about a year for good behavior in prison. After his release, Bernie Ward will be required for the rest of his life to register with police as a sex offender. Walker said he would go along with the defense request that Bernie Ward serve his time in the minimum security prison in Lompoc. That's in Santa Barbara County. Prosecutors did not object. The judge gives Ward until noon Friday to turn himself into federal marshals. Now, I actually agree he should be in a minimum security prison because he wouldn't last very long in a general pop. And so that's good. But I don't really know what a minimum security prison means today. I don't know who's in there. I always thought it was sort of like white-collar embezzlers. That doesn't mean that they're in some ways not more violent than the perps and the, you know, the general pop. But that's for them to worry about, not me. I personally wish him well in prison, and I don't know how he can handle it. So, where do you want to go from here? There are many stories we can talk about. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I guess the place for me to go right now is michaelsavage.com. Temple of Dem on Mount Olympus. It's a great story from the New York Post on my website. To think that they would hire a Hollywood stage set builder that put together Britney Spears' last stage set. To do a stage set for this fraud, Barack Hussein Obama, is amazing to me. I personally think it's going to backfire. just as his European ego trip backfired on him, I believe that tonight's acceptance speech will also backfire on him. Of course the diehards are going to say it won't, but the average person who they're trying to get, the people in the middle who haven't made up their mind, are going to say, you know what, this guy is an egomaniac. He's a celebrity-driven maniac. You know, I'm afraid of this guy. I may take the old man who at least I know than this guy. That's what I think. I think this is outrageous. Some Republicans have dubbed Barack's neoclassical Olympian set Barackopolis. Others have suggested that the delegates should wear togas to fit in among the same Doric columns that the ancient Greeks believed would stroke the egos of Zeus and Athena. Well, you know, I don't think it's entertainment at this point. I think it's very pathetic that the American people have been duped by the leftist media into thinking this man is a moderate. He is not a moderate. You may like him. You may like his voice. You may think he's good looking. But let me tell you something. His voting record is to the left of the only known senator in the U.S. Senate, this character from Vermont via Brooklyn. 1-800-449-8255 phone number, michaelsavage.com, a website. There are other stories that will knock your socks off, frankly, on my website if I could only get to them. But my site is being swamped by people who want to view these stories. Savage autobiography ready to order. Take a look at it. Dems nervous over risks of big stadium speech. Federal jury acquits ex-Marine Iraqi's deaths. Jose Luis Nazario Jr., God bless him. Thank God. You know, this backfired on the U.S. Marines. They thought, the lawyers in the military, that by taking Mr. Nazario out of a military court and putting him in a civilian court, that it would go against him. In fact, the opposite is true. A civilian jury found him innocent of killing unarmed Iraqi detainees. The civilian jury was nicer to him than a military jury probably would have been, and I'm really happy for him. Why Bernie Ward's friend turned him in. It's an interesting and revealing tape that you should watch on my site. Here's another interesting article. Killers on the streets and Dems celebrate these two. And that is San Francisco Mayor Annie Tuesom Newsom and the District Attorney Kamala Harris, who is by far and away the most dangerous district attorney in the history of America, are partying in Denver with other demon cats to show you how demented and sick this party is. Underneath that is another story that should get your ire. Boy killer smirks as death pronounced in court. Now, I'm going to talk about this case too today. A longtime sex offender was sentenced to death for the kidnapping, torture, and murder of a 9-year-old boy after jurors who watched video of the brutality deliberated just 3 hours. What you don't know about this psychopath is not so much that he smirked while he was sentenced, but that he had been arrested for molesting children before. He had been arrested over and over again, but you liberals released him on the street. Had this SOB been killed before for what he had done, had he been executed 10 years ago, he wouldn't have kidnapped and killed a 9-year-old boy in front of his sister after killing, by the way, his mother and his brother. Did you know that? You didn't want to know that. You just want to sweep your liberalism under the rug. All I can do is say to you liberals, I only pray to God that a longtime sex offender doesn't come into a screen in your house and abduct one of your children. You ought to thank God there are conservatives in this country, or you would be at risk. I'll be back. Savage. Liberals gone wild. So America is in love with Obama, the unthinking but the feeling America, but they don't understand that he is to the left of the only known socialist in the U.S. Senate. Now, I don't personally believe that most Americans who love Obama understand what his politics really are. If they do, well, then I'm even more concerned about the future of my country. I personally don't want to live in the ex-Soviet Union. Now, if you want to live in a place where there are re-education camps, perhaps even work camps for people who don't want to go along with the program, 3 million people who are not going to go into one of your camps, I can guarantee you. You understand what I just said to you? We're not going to be put into a re-education camp by any of you people. And that's what Obama stands for as far as I am concerned, whether it is a virtual re-education camp or a truly reality education camp. I don't want to live in that world. New York City, WOR, Justin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, good evening, Michael. The reason we cannot have any sympathy or compromise with evil is because it is precisely this kind of an attitude that is going to lead, that is leading, to the demise of two great nations, Israel and the United States, where they are dealing with a despicable monster like a man who takes a child, a three-year-old little girl, and smashes her head against a rock. Or we're dealing with the likes of Bernie Ward, who deals in the pornographic images of little children. Or we're dealing with African Americans who in Brooklyn chased down a yeshiva student and then stabbed them to death, as was the case of Yanko Rosenbaum. We must, without compromise, denounce evil and demand punishment for these people. We cannot turn Bernie Ward over to people who are going to put him into a country club, which is euphemistically referred to as a minimum security facility. We cannot return murderous monsters who smash the heads of little children back to their homelands in return for the dead bodies of our heroes. We cannot, because it's politically incorrect, refuse to denounce African-American mobs or illegal Mexicans who stab and murder an entire family on the streets of San Francisco. Evil must be confronted. There can be no compromise in dealing with it.
Well, I agree with you, but take a look at it. Here we got Gavin Newsom and the district attorney who released that monster in San Francisco to go and kill Mr. Bologna and his two sons, laughing in Denver as though the world owes them a living. Take a look at the picture of Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom on my website. You got roving killers, drug dealers on the streets of San Francisco, and these two people who released them on the streets are partying in Denver with the radical left-wing socialists. I think this says an awful lot about the choice in this election, don't you?
Well, all I can say is this, Michael. You know what? I'm not Jewish, but I know enough about Jewish law, the halakha, to say this. Without any sense of any fear of contradiction. According to Jewish law, evil must be denounced and it must be punished, and we are not to have any sympathy for those who commit these kinds of acts.
Well, he's going to a country club, Bernie Ward. I guess he may even have computer privileges there, for all I know. They may even let him access some of his favorite sites for fear of denying him any of his normal pleasures. Maybe that's what
Savage.
It's come to. Look, you know, I could say all I want, and all you're going to say is I'm a right-winger and I'm against Obama and he's a great guy. I asked you, look at the guy's voting record. Go and see what he's done. He voted against tougher sentences for gangbangers and drug dealers. That's Obama. He was against making it harder for abusive parents to get custody of their kids. And he voted against a bill to stop the early release of convicted sexual abusers. This was compiled by Associated Press. It's on my website, michaelsavage.com. I am telling you that despite the leftists in the media, despite the most despicable partisanship on the part of the media, the American people are not ready for Barack Hussein Obama's politics. Now, why do I say that? Well, here's a new poll that says 63% of Americans say they would support an Israeli strike against Iran if diplomacy fails. How is that possible? You would think that if America was in love with Barack Hussein's politics, which is avowedly anti-Israel and I wouldn't say pro-Hezbollah, but he's probably pro-Iranian, knowing the way those leftists think. A new poll conducted by Public Opinion Strategies said that 63% of Americans would support an Israeli strike if diplomacy fails to solve the Iranian nuclear crisis. 80% of Americans said it was likely Iran would use nuclear weapons if it acquired them. 85% of Democrats and 97% of Republicans believing the Islamic Republic represents a threat to the U.S. You believe this? So I understand polls are inaccurate. We understand that. But this is a pretty big margin. And so the Iranian threat seems to be resonating with the American people. And that's why I don't think that they're really ready for Obama's politics. The disconnect here is between Obama's actual leftist politics and the image being portrayed about Obama by his fellow travelers in the failing newspaper industry. Now, it is true newspapers are dying, and they're dying a rapid death. And I'm not one who celebrates it. I've said, you know, I was the first in talk radio to say this about 6 months ago. It was subsequently picked up by somebody. But I told you that the newspapers do the hard work for us guys in talk radio. Without the reporters, we would have very little to talk about, very, very truthfully. I mean, I could survive without the news if I had to. I'm one of the few who would survive. If they said to me, you can't do the news unless you're a certified government news guy, I could survive 3 hours a day reading stories. You know, I could read from my book, Psychological Nudity, or I can read from the day. I can tell you stories about what happened to me that day. If I get a backache, I could tell you a 20-minute story about my backache and the ramifications going backwards and forwards of my backache. Because I am in the long tradition of the biblical storyteller. I am in the long tradition that was then picked up by Tristram Shandy in Ireland, I believe. Was it in Ireland or in England? I think it was in Irish. He was the first stream of consciousness writer. He wrote 10 volumes about his life, I believe in the 1700s, Tristram Shandy. In fact, I refer to him in the preface of Psychological Nudity. Now, we all know what stream of consciousness is. You start telling one story, and that leads to some other side story, which leads to another side story, which leads to another side story. But the great storyteller goes back to the original theme and never forgets it. That's an art. That's a skill. I have it. And that's all there is to it. So, I mean, I could tell stories if I had to. Now, how did I get sidetracked? I got sidetracked by telling you a story about my being able to tell stories. Now I forgot what I was talking about. Play me some rock and roll so I can get back on track here. Anything that I can have some... Say it's Elvis. This is not dedicated to anyone in particular. 1-800-449. Turn it off already. Elvis is dead. Long live Elvis. Temple of Dem on Mount Olympus. I was the first to say they should wear togas. All right, so I got picked up. They all listen to this show. They do. I know that. I don't give them their whole article, but they get the germs of ideas from Michael Savage, which is fine. I'm one of the people out there that people have come to trust is going to throw sparks off his the wheels of his mind that will give ideas. I'm glad about that. If only they didn't hate my politics, the liberals. What a great world this would be. If only they would understand that I'm in the best interests of America and also in the best tradition of America by supporting borders, language, and culture. If only they understood the danger they're putting themselves in by supporting these left-wing socialists. If only, if only, if only. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Meryl, I didn't want to go to Columbus right now. I want to go to San Francisco. We have two women. Okay, we'll go to Marilyn and Columbus. Marilyn, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. There's two things I want to talk about. The first thing is Bernie Ward. He did not get enough, and why don't they send him to a maximum security? Because I understand in those places, anybody that has violated children really gets worked over. And that's
Hold on. Now, you don't even live in San Francisco, yet you know about this Bernie Ward child molester case, child porn case, pardon me. How do you know about it? Simply through this show?
No. Well, through your show and then for other national news.
Are you telling me that they're covering this Bernie Ward case on national news? Where? Where have you seen it? I'm very curious.
I get some stuff on XM.
Wow, I'm glad to hear it because I think they've been trying to throw a cordon sanitaire around this, the same way they're trying to cover up Gavin Newsom's homicide spree here in the city. I don't mean his spree, but the spree of homicides in the city and what's going on here. I don't see how it's leaking out. This is like the ex-Soviet Union here. Next point, Marilyn. Go ahead, please.
That is disgusting. But anyhow, I want to tell you something about how Barack Obama's people are trying to get people. I have voted for over 50 years in presidential elections, right?
Yes.
And today I got a call, an invitation from a volunteer to go to a big extravaganza tonight, entertainment, food, and to watch Barack's speech on the big screen. You know what I told the lady volunteer?
I'd rather not hear it. I think you'll give me some salty language that we're going to have to edit out.
No, it won't be edited. I told her in no uncertain terms I would not walk out my front door to meet him in person. Thank you.
Well, you know, Marilyn, listen, he is a machine politician from Chicago. No one rises to this level in Chicago unless they're just like all the other politicians in Chicago. Let's not forget who Barack Obama is. That's number one. But number two, not that many decades ago, in order to get people to vote, they give them $5 bottles of brandy to get them to come out to the polling booth on election day. The equivalent of a $5 bottle of brandy is what they did with you today, Marilyn, in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling. Richard, San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, topic is Bernie Ward. Unfortunately, a few years back, I actually got to have about an 18-month stay at that particular facility.
Wait, hold on, I missed that. You broke up. You were in Lompoc as a prisoner?
Correct.
Okay.
And, you know, sadly, that was then. Now, you know, things have changed, and I've been on the straight and narrow. But regardless, the point is, he will not have a good time there, and he definitely will not have any computer privileges. And an SOB like him will probably only last a few months before he goes to a facility to where he'll have to be either with the type of people that he is or by himself.
Well, Richard, are you saying that even in a minimum security country club, there's some kind of jailhouse hierarchy of crimes?
Always. Always. So
it's not the cakewalk that people may think.
Correct. Maybe 20 years ago, there used to be a what you would call a nine-hole golf course and whatnot. But nowadays, he will be forced to work every day for 12 cents an hour. And once people get to hearing who he is, being he's been in the limelight for a bit, he will have a miserable time, and that's what he deserves, if you ask me.
Well, do they put well, I don't want to go any further. I hear you. What were you in for? Do you care to tell us?
A financial crime.
That's almost a blessing in this society. I'm joking. Financial crime, you should have gone to work for the Democrats. You probably would be working for Obama now.
I agree. I wouldn't
see, the problem is financial crime. If you're good enough, you wind up running the U.S. Treasury. If you're small time, you wind up in Lompoc. That's all. If you're a big enough crook, you go to work for the government. If you're small time, you go to Lompoc. It's a crazy, mad, mad world. God bless America. What do you want me to do now? I don't even want to talk about politics. We're all waiting for McCain to make the announcement. I can safely make this announcement, and I'll break the news right here on the Savage Nation. I was not asked, and I did not accept John McCain's call. I can tell you that right now, and you can take that to the bank. Now, yesterday we played the nympho from Alley Pond Park, which I thought was touching, you know. Did I do first autopsy? Yes. What I did not do yesterday from my book, Psychological Nudity, which I'm proud of, and I would invite you to get online today and order my new book, the regular edition, and we're going to press next Tuesday. We have to submit to the printer. And once I do, that's it. It's done, and I want to make sure I get the right number to make sure you get your book. It's not going to come out till late October. I'd like to play right now Love. Actually, we don't have the time. What I'm going to do is come back from break, and we're going to play a Savage Story from Psychological Nudity, my new Savage Radio Stories book. And I will play for you Love by the Sewer Treatment Plant, and then we'll go back to the news. And, of course, if any news breaks on the issues that we are talking about, such as McCain's running mate or that nature. But I'm not going to play Bill Clinton at the DNC. I am not going to play any of the politicians. I think you've heard all of that, haven't you? And I know I've heard enough of it. I don't want to hear the screechy Hillary, you know, and that stuff. All I can say before I go out of the break is I think that the Obama campaign has been making one mistake after another. They made a mistake with the self-aggrandizing tour to Europe. That backfired on them. They made a mistake in selecting an old smokestack-style, old-style Democrat politician named Joe Biden. If they represent change and hope, which they don't, but if they want to project that, it should have been someone young and fresh, probably a woman. Frankly, if it was Hillary, it'd be a slam dunk. They would have won. That doesn't make sense to me. Something is wrong with that picture. I'll be right back.
Savage.
a savage nation. Look, I'm not sitting here celebrating Bernie Ward's sentencing. I'm relieved in a certain sense because last week when it came up that he was going to be sentenced today, we feared that the judge, who's known as a very liberal judge, was simply going to give him a slap on the wrist and, you know, let him go. And I guess there's a minimum that the judge has to follow. And that was 5 years. So the judge split the difference and gave him 7 some odd years. He can get a year off for good behavior. There's a very telling story from his friend. It's why Bernie Ward's friend turned him in from the local TV station. And there's a video of it. And he talks about why his friend turned him into the FBI. You say, what kind of friend would turn you into the FBI? I think you should listen to it. It's on michaelsavage.com. 1-800-449-8255. But, you know, the story that bothers me the most on my website is the appearance of Gavin Newsom, the San Francisco mayor, and Kamala Harris, the district attorney, celebrating while the streets of San Francisco remain very dangerous and crimes go, frankly, unpunished, killers walk free. Why are these people being celebrated in Denver? Now, what's interesting is Newsom was a pariah at the last Democrat convention. They wanted nothing to do with him because of his far-left policies. Yet at this convention, the Obama convention, he's being revered. Now, what does that indicate? Is it that America has turned to the left, or that under Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats represent the left of the party? I think it's the latter, not the former. 1-800-449-8255. Now we're going to go to a story from the rare first edition copy of my autobiography. And before we play it, Woodchuck Bill, it is going to be a first edition, first printing book that you get. And I'm putting that into the book. I told the printer I wanted to say first edition, first printing, so that this edition for my listeners on my website, and it's not going to be in bookstores, probably not in 08 at all. And if so, it'll be long after you get yours. This one is going to be the collector's edition. If I do release one in the bookstores, it's going to be a second printing. It's not going to be as valuable. That's the kind of ego I have. I'll be right back. I mean, play it. So when I was a kid, every summer, I loved the summer. What kid didn't? Because in those days, you didn't go to summer school. You didn't go to a camp to advance your mathematical knowledge, another to advance your sports knowledge, another to lose your tubby waist. You went and had fun for the whole summer. And we were kind of poor, so what we did was to get out of the hot inner city, the family rented a small cottage with all the other families from the neighborhood and relatives up in the cool mountains called the Catskill Mountains, and they were known as bungalow colonies because you got basically a one-room, kitchen, bedroom, bathroom, boom. And your whole family was in there, but they were like, the whole thing was filled with your friends and their parents, so it became like a little village. Naturally, it was paradise because every other parent was your parent, and you reverted back to like another time in history, so it was wonderful. We'd play Indians out in the woods, and we'd carve trees and make canoes. God knows what we did. So in one of these places, there was a guy who was a caretaker who lived in an old abandoned barn with his wife, believe it or not. And he like, mowed the lawn. He had the hammer, fixed the hammer. His name was Woodchuck Bill. And us kids, it was like a Tom Sawyer thing. We loved Woodchuck Bill. Kids loved. Now, remember, he was not a bum. See, today they're bum. They're homeless. He was what was known as a hobo in those days. And there were people who were hobos. They were sort of respectable in their own way. That was his job category. It was like hobo. He would put it on the IRS. Like, what do you do? Job category, hobo. I don't know what he made, next to nothing. But he lived up in this, as I say, ramshackle barn-like structure with his. He had a wife, actually. And Woodchuck Bill would regale us kids with his stories. And he was a big guy with a big stomach on him. So the story begins with him saying, all right, kids, come over here. Today they probably arrest him for molestation, just for even telling us a story. Some freak would arrest him. He says, all right, I want all of you to punch me in the stomach. Now, right away, that's rape today. It's raping a child in some way. So we'd all go up with our skinny little arms. We were 9, 8, 7, and punch him in the stomach, and nothing would happen. So naturally, we thought he was Superman. He must have been pretty strong. I mean, when you think about it, because they're 8-year-old kids that can give you quite a belt even today. Anyway, so we all hit him, and we realized we were nothing compared to Woodchuck Bill. Then we'd sit at his feet, and he would tell us stories. He'd say, I swear, I can remember to this day, he would say, well, I've seen hurricanes, and I've seen tornadoes. Well, we sat spellbound, like really out of a book from the 19th century. So what I liked most about Woodchuck Bill was that he lived in this barn with almost nothing. He had his few pots and pans, him and his wife, and they hung from, like, hooks over the thing and they actually cooked in there. But he said he used to eat woodchucks. We'd say, Bill, what do you eat? He said, we eat woodchucks. Who knows if he's telling the truth? I don't know if you can eat a woodchuck. And that's the Woodchuck Bill story. I mean, you wanted something more to it. There is nothing more. That's a jazz story. You got to understand jazz music to understand that story. It ends like boom, and the horn goes down. That's it. But unless you understand how jazz works, you're not going to be, like, satisfied, because you want a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then Bill raped us, and he was taken away by Child Protective Services, and we lived miserably ever after. No, it didn't happen that way. Today they'd arrest him for just being Woodchuck Bill. They give him treatment. They put him on a pill, and he'd probably go berserk and kill people in the on the IRT, throw him on a third rail when the pill wore off. I'm a good storyteller. You know, if I laugh at my own stories, which I've heard many times, I'm good. That's a good story. I would like to tell that to children and to grandchildren. And I have a suspicion, and again, please indulge me if you don't mind. It's still the first week of my new book, so it's a new toy for me. It's not even typeset yet. It's being typeset as I talk. It'll go to the printer Tuesday over the Labor Day weekend. I'm working. I don't know about you. I never stop. I'm a machine. I don't know how I keep doing it. But anyway, to go on, my goal is to not be remembered so much for my politics, but to be remembered for my stories, my true American stories. And my goal is to have this book, Psychological Nudity, live for a very long time, where people, generations from now, pick it up and read about Woodchuck Bill, or the first autopsy, or the nymphomaniac in Alley Pond Park, and say, you know, these are great stories. Who told them? What kind of guy was Michael Savage? And then on the side, they say, well, he had a radio show. What's radio, Mommy? Oh, radio is something that people used to listen to in their houses with a little speaker in those days, and we no longer have that. Now we have chips in our head where the government plays what they want us to hear. But these stories have been approved by the new government, and so they're very good to listen to.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Everything I learned in my 8 years as president and in the work I have done since in America and across the globe has convinced me that Barack Obama is the man for this job.
I think it already has sent a wave of approbation and admiration in many countries around the world, just knowing that this black boy who grew up with just a loving mother and grandparents, and that was about all he had to start with, has now had a chance to become the nominee of the Democratic Party for president.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in old sailboat.
All right, here we go. Round two of the Savage Nation. We're all waiting for the anointed one to speak. Of course, we won't get to hear it because it's only a different time slot, thank God. The phone number here, as you well know, is 1-800-449-8255, and the website's michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. I was reading today that newspapers are really dying faster than they predicted, and that a famous sports writer quit a famous newspaper saying newspapers are dead and he doesn't want to go down with the ship. And that the future of the media is on the internet. I was amazed by that. I was amazed at it. I mean, I have a radio show that's really successful and a website that is really doing well. I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, you start out in this business, you don't know where you're going to end up. And here we are. Now, we also have another story of liberals gone wild. Far-left talk show host Bernie Ward was sentenced today to 7 years in jail on child pornography charges. He is a liberal gone wild. We're also talking about Barack Obama, who is a liberal gone wild. If you actually look at his voting record, and the midstream media won't report it, but Barack Obama is the furthest left in the Democratic Party. He's even further to the left than the socialist Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Now, I got to pull back here because many of you say, yeah, what would you expect from a right-wing guy? He's going to lie to you. You know, I understand that that's your bias against me, if that's your bias against me. But if you look at the source of that story, it's not Michael Savage. It's the Associated Press. And the Associated Press is far from a right-wing organization, and yet they put together the voting record of Barack Obama going back to when he was a state senator, and it appears. And the Washington Times picked it up, and then they did their own version of it. But look at it. It says, Senator Barack Obama will portray himself Thursday night as an agent of change for mainstream America, but his eight-year voting record in the Illinois Senate shows a Democrat was on occasion an agent of isolation and took stands, particularly on anti-crime legislation, that put him to the left of his own party. And then it goes on, and it says that he's to the left of the most leftist of the senators. And I'm telling you that his running mate, Biden, ranked third in the National Journey Survey, with only Senator Edward Kennedy between him and Obama. So he's a far-left nominee. Now you say, well, maybe you are too, but you're not in the mainstream of American voters. The Democrats are not far-left. Most Democrats are not extremists. They're just basically anti-Republican. See, that's what I've discovered, that many people who identify as Democrats don't so much adhere to leftist ideology as oppose big government, big business, and Republicans in general who seem to represent big business. That, you see, I grew up in a Democrat household. I've told you that. My father, being an immigrant, was a liberal for sure, but not an extremist one. We read all of five newspapers every day. And I said, why do you read five newspapers? He said, so I can get five different viewpoints and derive my own opinion. So he was a man who wanted to know what was going on, despite his lack of formal education. He educated himself. So I come from a background of trying to see all different sides and then coming to my own conclusion. But the best teacher for me has been life itself. Life 101 taught me that liberals are a threat to the survival of freedom. And conservatives, although largely phony, in my experience, I found so-called conservative politicians to be as big a fraud as frauds as I've ever met in my life. And people who call themselves conservatives in the media are the biggest fakers I've ever seen. They wrap themselves in the flag when required and when necessary. But behind the scenes, they're not nationalists as I am. I'm still a Boy Scout. I was the kind of jerk kid who went out during the Boy Scouts Get Out the Vote drive, and I actually worked my little feet off going around my neighborhood with little cards. When my scoutmaster said that the vote is the most precious thing in a democracy and that you as a young Boy Scout can go out and make a difference, you can have people go out and vote. So we're giving you these little Get Out the Vote cards. I want you to hang them on every doorknob. I worked and worked and worked and worked till it was midnight and my parents called the police. They didn't know where I was. Of course, it was a different time. Nobody looked to snatch me off the street and put me in a porno movie so that fat men in the radio business could enjoy watching me being molested. So I came home tired and dirty, but I knew that I did something that was good. In many ways, I'm still a true believer. Call me naive if you will. However, when it comes to this election, although John McCain clearly represents business as usual, and he does clearly represent Bush 3, by comparison to Marx 2, I got to go with Bush 3. Tell me who steals that first. So we can talk about any of these topics in the Savage Nation, the phone number again being 1-800-449-8255. But, you know, there's another story that's bigger than all of this rubbish, which is Putin and the U.S. Today, Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin accused the U.S. of orchestrating the Georgian War. I don't think you understand the tinderbox of the Caucasus. And I don't think you understand that the people in the media are still calling it the Balkans. I actually heard an empty skirt on the Fox News Network calling what's going on in the Caucasus, what's going on in the Balkans. I said, oh, my God. She's as empty as what's inside. Oh, well, let's stop right there. She's an empty skirt. Let's put it to you that way. Sometimes the real me slips out. I got to be careful. So we can talk about Vladimir Putin as well. In fact, play Vladimir Putin, please.
The fact is that U.S. citizens were indeed in the area in conflict during the hostilities. Then it should be admitted that they would do so only following direct orders from their supervisors. Therefore, they were acting in implementing those orders, doing as they were ordered, and the only one who can give such orders is their supervisors.
You know, you watch a guy like Putin speak, although he's a diehard communist, you only ask yourself, how come we can't get someone in this country who is articulate and strong like him? I don't get it. How come we produce such shabby men and women in politics? That's all I keep asking myself. At least this guy has an intellect. You look at his eyes, you see super intelligence. You know, you look at some of those in politics and you see anything but intelligence. You see shabbiness. You just shabbiness and a lack of intelligence. Or if they are intelligent, it's been converted into cunning. And let me tell you something, cunning is not necessarily intelligence. I think you can be cunning without being intelligent. I believe you can also be intelligent without being cunning. But I think to be a great politician, you have to be both cunning, intelligent, and articulate. And I haven't seen that combo in a long while. It certainly doesn't exist in John McCain. Now, I believe Barack Obama is cunning, intelligent, and articulate, and that makes him the most dangerous politician in American history. So we can talk about any of these topics if you'd like on the Savage Nation. Chester A. in Chicago, the heart of Chicago politics on WIND, Wind. Chester A., welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's an honor to be on the air with you. I'm actually talking to you out of Rhode Island. I have to stream you online. There are many subjects that came up while I was waiting. One of them that's a little off the topic that's on your screen, and someone brought up manipulation. Recently, I was told about a site, part of Obama's site, called Kids for Obama. If you go out to Google, type in Kids for Obama Startup Kit, you get to this site. And in the first paragraph, it says, get involved in Kids for Obama. Studies have shown that kids can affect their parents and their siblings' opinions and even change the opinions of older family members, including those of voting age. This is disgusting.
Well, it's right out of the ex-Soviet Union. Remember, they all say they're not lying, though, the Democrats. They say they're doing it for the children.
This is totally,
and I mean that board. Wouldn't you agree the Democrats are the cool? That's my best line today. Looking at Bernie Ward and the other far leftists, you can say the Democrats are not doing it for the children, but they are doing it back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So Obama, the Harvard lawyer, picks another trial lawyer, and we're supposed to believe they represent hope and change. If you don't understand what I'm saying to you, this is, again, who do you think is hijacking the election again? The very same people who have bankrupted too many hospitals, doctors, corporations, and the average Joe, trial lawyers. They're the ones throwing tons of money at Barack Obama, the Harvard lawyer, who's presenting himself as just a poor kid from the slums of Honolulu. And Biden is another trial lawyer. You know, no one knows. How come you're not talking about that, who they are? Again, we have lawyers. So my two best lines so far today are, and I keep track of this, one, looking at the Bernie Ward case, I can see the Democrats are doing it not for the end. As for this election, I'd rather have Bush 3 than Marx 2. They're good lines. They're very good. Sacramento, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to thank you for bringing up the subject of Sergeant Nazario, who was acquitted today. I think that a lot of people, they didn't know this was going on, and if it weren't for you and people like you that talked about it, this could have maybe actually resulted in his going to jail. And I think
I know that for doing his job as a Marine. Do you know that something like 30 Marines were killed in his battalion in the Fallujah battle, and some SOB with a law degree and a uniform had the nerve to try to give this guy a life sentence for doing his job in Iraq years after he left Iraq? And I'll tell you who else. The real devils here are the officers in the Orange County Sheriff's Department who put his hands behind his back and arrested him without his knowledge. They are the lowest of the low, the officers in Orange County, for having done this to him. I have no respect for anybody in that department who did this to Nazario. And I'll tell you something else. I sent him money from the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund. I would do it again. And I'll do it for any other Marine who gets in trouble, any time of the week, any day of the week. And if I run out of money, I'll put my own money in again as I did. Chris, we have to defend these people. They are not the thin blue line. They're the only line we have against the Islamo-fascists.
No, you're absolutely right. And if it weren't for people like that, we'd be a country that would be taking orders from other people. Thank God.
Thank you. No, I know that. These are the heroes. They have the guts to go out there and kick down doors and maybe get a grenade thrown in their face. And then they have to come home to the Obama crowd who spits on them. San Francisco, Joanne, KNEW land. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I almost died when I heard that black voice comment that Carter made yesterday on the radio. That you aired.
Why am I the only one who found it? Why is it being swept under the rug? You know that I have almost lost my career for one word. Politicians have been thrown out of business for one word. Jimmy Carter calls him a black boy and nothing happens?
But not only, I knew the mainstream media wouldn't say anything, but I listened to conservative, quote-unquote, talk radio all day. I didn't hear any other person on the radio talk about it but you.
Well, I think we're going to redefine this. The word conservative in talk radio is almost a misnomer. The word independent has been hijacked by frauds from CNN who would look comfortable in a white apron in Duffy's Tavern. I think that the new phrase should be nationalist, not conservative, because the word conservative has become meaningless. Don't you agree with me?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna describe myself as a nationalist as well.
But yes, why don't we start shaking America up, everybody? And when you if you're conservative, don't use the word because it has no meaning anymore. There's too many fakers in the business. Call yourself a nationalist and see what happens. Then you'll see sparks flying. They've almost made the word nationalist pornographic.
Exactly. I have one very important question for you. I am a conservative practicing Catholic. I grew up in an environment much like yours. My father and mother are diehard Democrats. They go to church every Sunday as I do. But, you know, my dad, he is anti-abortion, yet he is voting for Barack Obama. Every other Catholic I know is voting for Barack Obama because they are just voting because they're not a Republican. I mean, because they're,
Didn't you hear what I said? That many Democrats don't even agree with the socialist policies of the Democrat wing of the party that has elected Obama, but they just don't want a Republican in office.
They morally do that. They march in these anti-abortion marches in San Francisco, yet they will vote for a man who believes in infanticide. That makes me sick.
But Joanne, they're elderly people, and they're set in their ways. They've been lifetime Democrats, and you're not going to change them. You're trying to use reason where emotion plays the dominant role in their beings, and you have to love your parents anyway, no matter what they do. Don't let it hurt you. You're never going to change them. I thought about that before coming on the air. I remember my poor father years ago, you know, he didn't have very much, but when it came around to an election, he felt powerful. He felt empowered. He would read the papers and he would talk about it. And then he would say, well, I'm going to vote for this person or that because of this. And that's the beauty of a democracy. It gives the ordinary man, the poor man, a power that they don't have in other countries. And if they want to use that power to say the heck with the power structure, and they think that they're getting something different by voting for a Harvard-trained lawyer named Obama, there's nothing you can do about it. To them, McCain represents moneyed interests, big corporate interests, and they don't want to vote for that. And unfortunately, Obama represents moneyed interests as well, but they're the trial lawyers. Why don't you tell them that Obama's a Harvard lawyer and that Biden is another trial lawyer and ask them if they like trial lawyers? The vultures of our time.
Michael, I have. But you know what is curious?
No, wait. Have you talked to them about the fact that these are trial lawyers behind Obama, that they're the ones giving all the money to this campaign for the Democrats? Maybe they hate lawyers as much as the rest of us do. The leeches of our society. You know, the sea slugs of our time. Trial lawyers. Bah humbug. We should have the European system. No tort cases.
Savage. Former KGO radio host Bernie Ward will be sentenced tomorrow morning on child pornography charges. Tonight, his close friend explains to the I-Team's Dan Noyes why he turned Ward in to the FBI.
April 3rd, 2005.
Sunday morning on KGO God Talk. I'm Bernie Ward.
Bernie Ward's just wrapped up a Sunday morning program, God Talk, when he runs into an old friend outside the studio.
Bernie walked out and just fell into my arms crying and said that his house had been raided by the FBI and that he was devastated.
Michael Pritchard gave up his career as a stand-up comic to become a motivational speaker and child advocate. So he was stunned when Ward explained why he was in trouble because of what he had done on the Internet.
That he's, you know, viewed some stuff, and I knew immediately what that meant. Because there's nothing on the Internet other than that that's going to cause the Federal Bureau of Investigation to come to your home.
But did he actually say child porn?
Yes.
And you asked him for how long?
For a year.
And he said for a year.
And he said for a year.
Ward's case got rolling after he emailed an image of child porn to this woman from the Central Valley town of Oakdale. She called police, who brought in the FBI, and 3 months later, agents raided Ward's home. 3 days after that, Ward confessed to Pritchard.
And I still love him, and I want the best for him, in hopes that he would redeem himself. But at the same time, I have spent my entire life protecting children.
That morning, Pritchard was set to appear as a guest on the show after God Talk. He told Bernie to wait until he was done so they could talk. But when Pritchard left the studio, Ward was gone.
He told me he did not want to live, and I was afraid that he would harm his family. So I immediately, when I was done, called the FBI and asked them to secure his family, which I know they did.
Was there ever a question in your mind that you would call the FBI? Did you hesitate?
No, I knew because I wanted to secure his family. People that are suicidal are often homicidal.
Pritchard also gave the FBI a statement that became part of the case against Ward. He's listed as an unnamed close friend in the sentencing memo filed last week. And to this day, Bernie Ward is sticking to his contention that he was researching a book.
He, all along since his arrest, has been talking about how this was research for a book. In that initial conversation with you, was there a mention
never,
of a book?
Never mentioned research? Anything about that. Never mentioned that.
Now, what do you think about him saying that?
I feel so sad for him that he doesn't just let the wall down and say what he needs to say. And that is my hope, my wish, and my prayer that he would do that for himself.
Michael Pritchard tells me he has no second thoughts about the role he played in Bernie Ward's conviction.
Pornography is worse than death to a child. It kills the spirit. And when a child is abused like that, we need, as a community, to step up. And if you're doing this stuff, turn yourself in. Do yourself and our community a favor. Turn yourself in and get straight.
Michael Pritchard says Bernie Ward has to accept the consequences of his actions and hopes he'll use his time in prison to help other inmates. We're streaming all of my conversation with Pritchard in a new iTeam blog at abc7news.com. We've also posted many documents and links associated with this sad story.
The book that I know you've all been waiting for, Psychological Nudity, is the title. And here we are, 75 stories from Michael's colorful life history are contained in this limited first edition printing. And you can go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to see the picture of me holding Teddy, my dog. The classic stories I've told on the radio were translated for the written word. And I have to say translated for obvious reasons, because the spoken word and the written word are two different mediums. They're not the same. One Arm Frank, Love by the Sewer Plant, Dead Man's Pants, Savage's Childhood Diet, that's a prescription for a heart attack, Tippy the Dog Dies and is Thrown into a Garbage Truck, When Pasta Was Spaghetti, From Immigrant Son to Radio Stardom, and many more favorites are in this book, 75, by the way. Are there political stories? A few. The Medical Reason Why Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, Debunking Man-Induced Global Warming, Republicans Should Treat Voters Like Restaurant Customers, Psychological Nudity. It's a must for everyone who's read a Savage book. It's an original. Kindly go to michaelsavage.com, review the cover, click, and there it is, and I'll know how many you print. It is the Savage Nation. Let me tell you the story of the shady podiatrist whose kid became an Anglophile who crashed my Jaguar. But first, we have to listen to Stan Getz. and Charlie Byrd. Stan Getz and Charlie Byrd on the Savage Nation Desafinado to set the mood and the time. Oh, I know what you're expecting, but you're not going to get it from me. You'll have to go to one of the other talk show hosts to get. Obama's a Marxist and McCain is a war hero. If that's what you want from now until November, you're in the wrong you're on the wrong dial position. It's over. Leave me alone with it already. I really don't care anymore. I'll talk to you about it after the election. That is, unless there's a revelation here and now. It's enough already. Can we get on with our lives instead of focusing on these narcissistic egomaniacs who want to crash the country into the rocks even further? So please, listen to Desafinado, will you, by Stan Getz and Charlie Byrd. And I will tell you the story of the shady podiatrist whose kid became an Anglophile who crashed my Jaguar. So as the music fades away, I want to take you back in time to a childhood story. Of course, it's a teenage story at this point. I had a friend whose father was a shady podiatrist, as you can tell by the title of the story. And he had a weird podiatry practice in the back of his apartment in, I think it was Sunnyside, Queens, somewhere in that area. I have no idea what the man did in the back. He was a very strange father. Everybody was afraid of the guy. You'd go, and he was very tall. The father was very tall. He dressed kind of shabbily, but upscale, but it was all tattered. And he always had a weird look on his face. And when the father was not in the apartment, the son, who became the Anglophile later on to cover up his origins, would take you in his father's podiatry studio, clinic, or whatever it was, office. And he'd say with a snicker, "I want you to see my father's rack," where he stretched people or something. And there was always something weird about this guy's podiatry practice. I don't even know what a podiatrist did. Something to do with the feet, but I think this guy did something with another part of the anatomy by implication. Now you speed the clock up. The son who grows up in this shady apartment with a shady father, who was off-beaten guy, didn't become a real doctor, has to, throw dirt on his origins. So he becomes more Brooks Brothers than anybody we know. He adopts an English accent. And the last I heard, he had married a rich girl, oh, this is a long time ago, and became a banker with the umbrella and the whole deal. Now, there's another element to the story of the shady podiatrist whose kid became an Anglophile, which is my Jaguar XK150. Prior to the time that he became a pure Anglophile, he was still my friend, but that's before I left New York. And I had an XK150 Jag that I'll never forget. I loved that car more than, well, most cars. Who remembers what car you love and this and that? But when I say I love that car, you got to remember something. We're limited by our language, English. English has one word for love. I love my car. I love my mother. I love my wife. I love my dog. I love this pizza. I love my new shoes. We're stuck with one verb. In Latin, there are 16 verbs for love, each one slightly more descriptive depending upon the type of love we're talking about. So when I say I love the Jaguar, it's not like I love my dog or any of the other things I mentioned. Well, one night we were partying in the podiatrist's son's apartment. The father, I think, was taking advanced rack stretching lessons somewhere in the Grenada. And as kids would do, we got drunk and probably some other things were used at the party, who knows what. And he said, "Hey, can I drive your Jag? It must have been 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're a kid. Yeah, here's the keys." So he takes the car out on Queens Boulevard, 2 o'clock in the morning in Queens. And, he raced it out as fast as he could go. And his heart's pounding. He's sitting at a traffic light after, he did his long run. The light's red. He stopped. All of a sudden, he looks in this tiny 2-inch mirror that the Jags came with. And he sees a car careening right at the rear of the car. But before he could get the car in first, clutch it, gear it, and get out of there, crash, bang, boom, smashed in. The back of the car is broken off. And, of course, I've reversed the story. I think it was his Jaguar, and I was driving it, and I got hit from the rear. I really don't remember at this point whose car it was, but I do know who hit us. To this day, and I'm not making this up, You know, I'll never, I know the guy's name. I remember it. He was an Iraqi. I swear to you. It was very odd because I didn't know of Iraqis at that time. But he was an Iraqi national with a pure – his name was not Saddam Hussein. I know that. Nor was it one of the junior Husseins. But it was an Iraqi national who crashed the Jaguar and broke its back. And, of course, that was that. Our friendship ended soon thereafter. Yes, it was his car. He came and saw it. And the back was broken off the car. And he started to almost cry. He didn't cry like a sissy, but he wept. And he said, you broke the back of my car. I said, I didn't mean it. I was sitting there. And that's the story of the shady podiatrist whose kid became an Anglophile. Now play Desafinado, and I'll tell you why I told you that story. Actually, the song has more meaning to me than the story, because I remember when this song came out. I don't know if I can tell that story. Is that illegal? One of the girls in the crowd had a sister who was a Playboy bunny. She was older. She must have been 22. We were 17, 18, 19. Now, I want to tell you, Playboy Bunny then was a Playboy Bunny. Today, it has no meaning. Today, they look like skanks from the lowest levels of the sewer. I mean, you watch that show with that old degenerate bum. I mean, this guy should be... Let's just stop right there. I never saw anything like these skanky broads he has in that mansion of his. What is so interesting about these lowlife bimbos he has with him? But in those days, a Playboy bunny was really something. I mean, they were the top of the heap. At least that's how guys saw her. Who knows what they really were? They're probably like every other woman on earth. You know, if they had a good figure, they became a Playboy bunny. As long as they did the right producer meet, you know. Well, this song was very popular at that time, you see. And she was 22. And everybody in the crowd wanted to get next to the Playboy bunny. But I was the lucky one home from that particular event, which, of course, I was flying high. I couldn't believe it. I was not in the Jaguar. I was in another car. I was in a Chrysler, which had the Hemi engine, but it was not the whatever. It was a Chrysler New Yorker, an old man's car, but it had the Hemi engine. So I'm driving home from that encounter with the Playboy Bunny. And remember, I'm really only a kid. And my mind was certainly not in the car. I mean, where was I? I have no idea. My mind was on cloud nine. Bang. Hit from the side by a truck. The car is absolutely totaled. I got to get a tow truck. It's towed home to in front of the house. And I remember selling the car for the engine alone to some hitter kid who was going to take the engine out. We had a long talk about it and use it in a dragster. Savage. It is so hot out here you could die in San Francisco. It's one of those horrendous days with the pressure keeping the fog offshore. I can't wait till the fog comes in. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's good to be alive. Happiness consists of getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof, wrote the Chinese novelist Lin Yutang. Now, I haven't had my hair cut in about 2 months, and my neighbor didn't fall off the roof, but one of my radio neighbors is going to Lompoc. So I'm going to read to you a blog from the local reporter, Dan Noyes, who's been covering this for the ABC television station. I'll read it right now. He was at the court today. If you're interested in this case, listen to what happened. This is about Bernie Ward's wife, and I guess it could be his ex-wife because she's got a different name, but it says, Dr. Colleen Halloran headed straight for the cameras to blast the federal government after the judge gave her husband, former radio host Bernie Ward, 7 years and 3 months in prison for distributing child pornography. You could almost hear echoes of Bernie Ward's radio show in his wife's statement. She said, this whole proceeding has been crushing with an anvil. The Justice Department sure hasn't got any of the real terrorists out there. They got us into a war that was based on a lie. They can't control the economy. They can't control gas prices. But oh boy, they got that really dangerous criminal Bernie Ward off the street and have destroyed his family. I thank you all very much. Now, I'll pause right there, because what you see in this, or what you hear in this, is the entire gestalt of the left wing in America. It's like Bernie Ward himself coming up with a big lie and using the big lie and his disaffection with the Republican administration to justify diddling. I don't see how the two are related. I mean, I don't understand what terrorists and the war and the economy and gas prices have to do with a fat man sitting in his room, child pornography. In court, Judge Vaughn Walker, by the way, I added that editorial about. In court, Judge Vaughn Walker said several points troubling about Ward's actions. Ward comes from a strong religious background and told the probation officer he was abused as a youngster from the fifth to seventh grades. He went on to become a priest, blah, 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 at a radio show. Judge Walker said that because of his background, Ward should have understood the devastating impact of child porn and should have sought help confronting this predilection. So the judge, who was appointed by George Bush's father, turns out to be quite reasonable here. Remember last week we had a former DEA agent, my friend Emil, call the show, and he said that he was afraid the judge was going to basically slap him on the wrist. Apparently the judge didn't just throw a lightweight sentence at him. The judge was also troubled by the images themselves. 100 pictures found on Ward's email in the read and send folder. Ward also belonged to a list group that traded child porn. They were not naked pictures of 14- and 15-year-old girls. Prosecutor Steve Grocki said they were prepubescent girls as young as 2 or 3 years of age, engaged in full sexual contact with adult males, including bondage and sadomasochism. Now, let me pause here. I hope you understand what we are talking about here. You're not going to hear any of this in the media. They're going to say he was an innocent guy, looked at porn. Why did the judge throw the book at him? Did you hear what you just said? They were not even 14 and 15-year-old girls, which is unto itself illegal. They were prepubescent 2- or 3-year-old girls in full sexual contact with adult males, including bondage and sadomasochism. For me, when I hear a thing like this, the death sentence wouldn't have been too much for me. How could I'm sorry, I have to stop right here. I don't know how any man could look at this, number one. How could any man not look at this and understand that he's contributing to the girls being robbed off the street in Brazil or somewhere else and being put in a chair like this? The judge went on. He said he traded in the currency of human suffering, of children's suffering. Judge Walker revealed in court that he viewed some of the images himself at the request of the prosecution. The judge said he was troubled that a parent would write about sexual activity with his own children, even if it was just fantasy. Okay, I'll keep going. Judge Walker said, quote, he's not convinced sending him to prison is the best way to deal with an individual with these problems, that very little good has come out of all this. Still, the judge sentenced Bernie Ward to 87 months in federal prison. As I said on the air today, that's Dan, on the federal guidelines, Ward has to serve 85% of his sentence. The earliest he'll get out is October 2014. That is after he surrenders to federal marshals tomorrow. His deadline is noon. ABC legal analyst Dean Johnson said Ward should not be heading for a club fed, that he's now a sex offender who at best will serve his time in a low-security federal correctional institution. Well, it's again, it got me sick last week when I read this. I never heard of anyone looking at little children and getting excited. I never met anyone, by the way, like that. Never. I have never in my life encountered anyone in all my walks of life. I've met some good people. I've met bad people. I've met ordinary people. I have never heard of anybody who looks at this stuff. Never. Certainly you've all heard about people looking at adult pornography, consensual. Whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant. It's legal. But this kind of thing, 2- and 3-year-old children, a man who has children of his own, this is very bad. What do you think? Did Bernie Ward get the punishment he deserved? Was it too much or too little? San Francisco, KDW, Jack, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael. Ward's wife sounds like your typical perverted apologist. They invariably ignore or gloss over the fact that he wasn't busted for just for possession, but distributing over 100 images. And they go right to their bogus argument that, well, he just possessed it, and possession, well, isn't that really a thought crime, and we're on the slippery slope?
Yeah. They did that with me on the show last week, but I want to ask you something about this case. Something doesn't add up here. There's a couple of elements that don't add up. What do you mean distributing? Why do these sickos share it? I don't understand that part of it. Why do they share it?
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. We are talking about a number of topics, and all of them are sickening. Welcome back to the program. MichaelSavage.com has the stories that I haven't been able to get to. And I think the one that's resonating to a great extent with the audience across America, even though they don't live in the Bay Area, is the sentencing today of the super left-wing talk show host Bernie Ward, who was given 8 years, I'm sorry, almost 8 years, 7 years behind bars for emailing child pornography, which is considered distributing it. Now, you say he was not really engaging in anything wrong. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't make it. Some of these children were 2 and 3 years old, and they were forced to have sex with grown men. And don't you understand that unless people look at this stuff, the others, the fiends who make it would have no market for it? But as the hour ended last hour, I asked another question, which I still don't understand. Why do these sex maniacs who look at this stuff trade it with others? I don't understand that. And I'm not a kid. I'm not from the boondocks. I've seen a lot of things in my life, but I don't understand why a person who engages in this illness has a compulsion almost to share it with others. Sacramento Joe, perhaps you can enlighten us.
Dr. Savage, the reason that these people are trading in child pornography is because it's like a currency amongst the forums and the chat rooms that they're part of, sir.
I'm sorry, say that again. They get something for it?
Yeah, it's like a currency. Like, they have to share in order to receive other images, in a sense. Like, it's kind of like a ratio. I don't know how to explain any better than that.
You mean if you send another sicko a hot image, they send you a hotter one?
Yes, sir. That's exactly where it comes from. So they have to be a part of the community in order to, you know, receive certain images or receive...
I have another question, Joe. Why does the government permit these images to be transmitted on the Internet?
You know, sir, I can't answer that. The reason I know it was about 10 years ago when I was 15 years old. I used to look for girls of my age, you know, 15, 16 years old. And the community out there is huge for this kind of stuff, sir. I don't understand how they cannot catch these individuals. I mean, everybody has, you know, certain addresses and stuff associated.
No, what I mean is this. We all are concerned about censorship of talk radio. We don't want the government interfering with free speech. But this is not free speech. This is not free speech by any definition. You know, you could just as soon say that whoever is permitting the purveyors are one thing, the viewers are another. But what about the provider, the internet provider? Should they go to jail too for permitting this to be transmitted on their servers? Should the server go to jail for permitting it for a buck?
I think
the society better have a real discussion about this. And I don't want to hear another twisted demonic lawyer tell me it's free speech like my show. You know, don't even call the show with that. This is not free speech, looking at pictures of a 2-year-old girl being forced to have sex with an adult male. It's not the same thing. Now, I want a prison guard from Lompoc, where Bernie Ward will be serving, to tell us what that prison is like. If there's a guard from that area, would you please call the Savage Nation and tell America if this is really a club fed? Is it what do they have there? Swimming pools, air conditioning? Do they have internet access where perhaps they can indulge themselves even in prison? Is it air conditioned? Do they feed them pork and beans? I mean, what do they eat there? Santa Maria, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I am a resident of Lompoc. It's pronounced Lompoc like Slowpoke. And it's a small coastal community about 50 miles north of Santa Barbara. So so it's cool here. We're right on the ocean. There's no need for any kind of air conditioning. But I did.
Maybe I should move there. It sounds lovely. You don't get really burning hot days, huh?
No. 70, 75 is every day all around the year.
It's called Lompoc?
Lompoc, like Sopo. It's an old Chumash village. And
Lompoc. Well, it's very apropos of this particular case, Lompoc.
It's named it Lompoc, you know, and it's been a city for 150 years.
So what is the prison like? Have you been in there?
No, I've never been in there, but I've talked to guards over there, and it's very comfortable. They have tennis courts. They actually, these prisoners are called campers. They're not even called prisoners.
Oh, my God. So he was given a slap on the wrist.
It's a very easy living. In fact, some of them actually just walk right off the prison because there's no fences around.
Oh, isn't that liberal of them? They let guys like this walk off. You mean he can go visit town in the afternoon and go to a cafe, an internet cafe, perhaps, and enjoy himself again?
The prison is actually located on Vandenberg Air Force Base. And so,
A private contractor that Bush picked?
I don't know about that.
Well, maybe he outsourced the prison to one of the Republican contributors. You never know. God. So we don't have a security guard. Steve in San Francisco is calling about a crack that Carter made about... Would you play the Carter piece again so that we get it back into the loop?
I think it already has sent a wave of approbation and admiration in many countries around the world, just knowing that this black boy who grew up with just a loving mother and grandparents.
So I'm saying if Republican ever used that phrase, that would be the end of their career. Why is Carter getting away with it? Why is the midstream media ignoring it? San Francisco, Steve, go ahead. Please, you're on the air.
Thank you, Mike. I had a comment on this and even a couple other things, if I might. But, I mean, I think what he was really saying was that a black child could grow up under conditions of relative deprivation and could rise to become, you know, a president. I think
I understand that, but you and I both know that those particular words put together has a different connotation to black people, right or wrong?
When an adult black man is called a boy, that's considered a slur. But that's
why would he say this black boy when Obama's not a boy? He's a man.
He hesitates. If you listen to it, he hesitates a minute searching for the word. He probably even wondered, should he go to that particular word? I mean, maybe he should have used a black child or a young black person.
First of all, Obama didn't suffer. He had no deprivation. He grew up in Hawaii. His white grandmother raised him. He went to a private high school called Punahou. Where is the deprivation in his background, Steve?
I'm actually not necessarily debating the veracity of the comment, just whether using boy represent. I mean, you
all right.
Can all have...
Maybe I'm oversensitive to it because I don't know any white person who would ever use that phrase without knowing what it connotes.
You're correct that one would be very careful using that word in a sentence, but I think if you technically look at what he was saying...
I've heard that defense being used by the supporters of Obama and the libs. I don't believe it. I personally think that Jimmy Carter is giving away his past. Let's put it to you that way. Now, what was your other comment, Steve? You said something else that provoked your interest.
And some. I just wanted to that vis-a-vis the autism issue. I was wondering if you felt like your comments.
So there's a big, big initiative here in the state of California to ban gay marriage forever. And I must tell you that the phony field poll has been running disinformation, in my estimation, continuously for the gay lobby, the Democrat lobby, saying that most Californians are not going to vote for a gay marriage ban. That's nonsense. My prediction is it will win by at least 10 points. The field poll is a front for the Democrat Party. And it's nothing but that, in my estimation. And usually they're wrong in virtually every poll they've ever done. And I should tell you that an estimated 15,000 people, most of them members of Catholic, evangelical Christian churches and Mormon churches, are going out to knock on doors and distribute campaign literature to registered voters throughout the state this weekend in order to encourage people to get out and vote to make sure that homosexual marriage is banned forever in the state of California. And you have to support them. You must support them. You have to put some sanity back into this country. And there's an arc between same-sex marriage and child pornography, no matter what anyone tells you. It's all part of the same tolerance message that the libs have been pushing for 50 years now. Tolerance, lifestyle, choice. It's all part of the same arc. If you oppose child pornography, you must oppose homosexual marriage. To me, it's on the same arc. And this is not about being anti-gay. This is about being pro-family and pro-children. And California needs to do more to encourage families to stay together. You cannot equate homosexual marriage with heterosexual marriage and see a society survive. It's impossible. It will be the death knell to the society as you know it. There are many consequences to homosexual marriage, including ministers who preach against homosexual marriage could be sued for hate speech, as they are being sued in England and in Canada. Churches could be sued for refusing to host wedding ceremonies for homosexuals. And children, your precious grandchildren, will be taught that homosexual marriage is equivalent to heterosexual marriage. So I hope that you understand what's at stake and pay no attention to these fraudulent polls. Get out there and vote. Get out there and vote against homosexual marriage once and for all, and tell them to move to Massachusetts if they love it so much. Eureka, California. Trevor, on which topic do you call the Savage Nation?
How's it going, Dr. Savage? I'm a big time listener of your show. I don't always agree with you, but I definitely always entertained. And it's actually funny that you just made that comment, because I'm actually a homosexual man, but I was calling to tell you that I do not think the punishment for the child pornographer was high enough. I think this man's a sexual predator by all means of the term.
Let me say this. If you're a new listener who simply listens for entertainment, you're welcome anyway, but the show is whatever you want to make of it. Many people start by thinking that they're just getting, you know, fun and games. That's okay. I don't really care. You know, you can do anything that you want. Listen, I am not opposed to anyone's sexual activity as long as it is adult and consensual. However, there's a big difference between letting people do what they want as a society and condoning homosexual marriage, which I think is another realm. I believe that condoning homosexual marriage will be the death of our society. It's not the same thing as saying if a person's gay, good luck to them. It's two different things, Trevor.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I'm not saying that anyone who doesn't agree with
me. I have known gay people. I never knew a gay person in my life who wanted to get married. The guys I knew who became gay did it because that's what they did. They never wanted to be married like their parents. This is utter nonsense. It's part and parcel of the desire to destroy society. I see it that way. And many people don't even know that they're being used this way in the gay community.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I mean, I don't think there should be anything pushed on anyone who doesn't, you know, agree with it or anything. Like, I don't think you should be, you know, required to.
No one is saying that if you like to be with men, that's my business. It isn't my business. I am a sexual libertarian. I've said that 1,000 times and I mean it. But there's a line you don't cross. One of them is children, and the other line is mocking marriage. That's how I see it, Trevor.
No, I agree, and especially with the children. I mean, that man who – did you say he had children? Is that correct? The man who's –
Yes, he is a former talk show host, and he has 4 children of his own.
If that wife was a good mother, if anything, a sane person or a good mother, she would get those children away from that man. I mean, how –
That's what I don't understand. How could his wife, or his ex-wife in this case, be supporting him? Something's wrong with the whole picture. I don't understand why the FBI didn't remove him from the house when this first came out. If this guy was fantasizing sex with his own children, to me, the police step in and put the guy away right away. Or they separate him from the kids. They let him stay home with an electronic bracelet. Something, and I know the reason for this. You want to hear my gut feeling of why, Trevor? I don't know. He is a former staff aide to Barbara Boxer. He's locked into the Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein political structure, and they went to bat for him. And that's not very good for society when you have these big sissies out there protecting pervs like this.
I mean, yeah, what kind of life are those kids going to live? I mean, how would the mother even let the kids go to the hearing when their father is fantasizing about?
I don't know. That's another thing. He's already destroyed his children's lives.
Not to mention the lives of the children who have been forced to do these acts so he could just get off and watch his,
Horrible. Just horrible. 2 and 3-year-old children with adult people. So, Trevor, I hope you go away being less offended by me than you may have been when you started the call.
Yeah, no, my dad actually listens to you, and I've been listening to you since I was a kid, so I definitely appreciate what you're doing.
Wow. Now, you know something? This is an interesting call. So your father is somewhat conservative then?
Yeah, my dad's a lifelong Republican, actually.
All right, so you became gay. You've listened to me for, what, 10 years now?
Easily. I mean, you've always been around, when I was in the truck with him and everything, so I just pretty much...
So how old are you now, Trevor?
I'm 23.
I've been on the radio 15 or so years, 14, 15 years. So you've been listening to the show since you're 10 years old?
Easily. I mean, my dad, as far as back as I can remember, my dad's been listening to talk radio and you and I mean...
That is unbelievable. Now, I'm not responsible for you choosing this lifestyle, am I?
No, not at all.
In other words, you didn't do this despite your father and me, did you?
Of course not, no.
Oh, come on. You know I'm joking. At least you have a good sense of humor about it all. For God's sakes, I wish we could all get along, like Rodney King said.
Exactly. I mean, I don't have to agree with everything you say. And like I said, I mean, you say a lot of great things, and we don't have to agree on everything, but I still appreciate what you do, and I think you're a really wise man.
And let me say this, Trevor. I don't know how to get this across to gay listeners. When I say Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of Iran, is the most dangerous man in the world, he is particularly dangerous for gay people. They execute gay people in Iran. How could gay people not understand this?
Exactly. I mean, we live in a country where we don't appreciate what we have, I don't think, and people take these little, someone saying something wrong about them and take it the whole wrong way. I mean, we're not being rather...
They hate me more than they hate Ahmadinejad when he threatens their very survival. Well, there's hope yet, Trevor. Maybe you're the next generation of gay conservatives. Maybe there's a hope for America yet. What I'd like to see are gay nationalists. Then we really have a country. That's a convention I'd speak at for free, at the Gay Nationalist Convention. 1-800-449-8255. You see, I don't care what stripe a nationalist is. I don't care what race the nationalist is. I don't care the country of origin that a nationalist is. Borders, language, culture.
Savage.
Period. The Savage Nation. Today's show is called Liberals Gone Wild, and although I am not at all ever going to vote for Obama because of his far-left leanings, and I got to remind you Democrats that he's out of step with you. Obama is out of step with you. And you got to understand that his politics are to the left of the only avowed socialist in the U.S. Senate, Bernie Sanders of Vermont. I don't know how you don't understand what this would mean for America. He is the farthest leftist senator in the Democratic Party, even further to the left than the socialist senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Liberals gone wild. Peoria, Illinois, Austin, you disagree, but you're on the Savage Nation where free speech reigns.
Thank you. I just want to say I agree on that child pornography thing. That should make anybody want to throw up. I think we can agree on that much, Michael.
Okay, at least we agree on something.
Yeah. As far as Obama... even though he's not full African-American, his mom being the non-full portion, I think this is a major step. All throughout school, I've been taught that everybody's equal, and now we're finally going to get to see that come to fruition. And
Let's pause right here. You see, this is an emotional statement. You mean simply because he's 50% African-American, he should be granted the presidency to make you feel good?
No, I mean, emotional, like the Chinese have their national pride. I think Obama's going to be able to bring us to a more, like after 9/11, how everybody was one American. I think that Obama's going to get us to that type of mindset.
But wait. But you're not concerned about his leftist politics, or is that why you like him?
The only thing that I don't like about Obama is that he was part of that church for 21 years, 2 weeks of heat, and he changes his position.
Let me ask you something. What do you feel about the Second Amendment, the right of citizens to have arms for self-defense? How do you feel about that?
I'm pro Second Amendment.
Obama isn't. Obama is against the use of firearms for self-defense by law-abiding citizens.
President Clinton said last week, if you agree on one guy, 50%, and you think he'll pull through on those 50% of those issues, he wants you to vote for them, and that happens to me, for me, Mr. Obama, and not Mr. McCain. So I'd rather go with a guy.
Yeah, but if you actually look at the issues that I'm raising, such as the Second Amendment, such as abortion, such as gay marriage, such as punishing child pornographers, I think you'd find out that he's totally opposed to your positions. And that's what I'm trying to say. See, this is the politics of race that you have to be careful of. When I was a kid in New York, if a candidate was Jewish, when the Jewish people dominated New York, all the Jews loved the Jewish candidate. When the Irish dominated New York, if the candidate was an Irishman, the Irish became the mayor. So I understand ethnic politics very well because I grew up with it in an ethnic boiling, in an ethnic melting pot called New York. But I think you have to look past the individual skin color and look at his politics. This is not even a middle-of-the-road black guy like Colin Powell. This is a guy far to the left of his own party.
Yeah, I understand that he's far to the left, but the rest of the Senate, as you're saying, isn't as far left as him, and which we all know the Senate is now Democrat-based. So I think a lot of the Democratic mindset will be passed. Bills won't get vetoed as they are currently with Mr. Bush in the office.
Well, what you don't understand is that the president has tremendous amounts of power. He has the power to write a law by executive order and override the Senate, override the Congress, rather. So you have to watch out who this man is. Las Vegas, Hassan, welcome. Thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. You need to find a national publisher to pubbook so you can sell more books in one day than Nancy Pelosi sold in her five-week vacation.
Okay. How many books did Nancy Pelosi sell,
roughly? I don't know. 2,000-something.
I've already beaten her in 3 days on my own website with no publicity but this show.
Can't do it without the national publisher, but you need to do it.
Let me clear the air. Hassan, people don't know this. I had an agent for this book, and I had a publisher for this book who was going to pay a very large advance for this book. And that was approximately 6 to 9 months ago. And then it didn't work. And that was because the publisher wanted to edit every sentence and every word. He wanted also to take every story and turn it into a political story. In other words, if I were telling the story about one-armed Frank with the halitosis, for example, he would say, can you end the story by turning it into a political punchline? I didn't want to write such a book. I wanted the book to be entertaining, enlightening, and fun, rather than simply another political hack book. I don't want to put out a political book right now. So I decided to self-publish for now, and perhaps in 2009 I will release it into the bookstores. You understand why I'm doing this, Hassan? It's total freedom. And that's why I did the autobiography myself, and that's why I'm selling it only on my website.
The reason I say this, Michael, is because you are such a romantic speaker, and I'm not calling from San Francisco, if you know what I mean by that.
No, I was going to ask you.
No. You are such a romantic speaker in the literal terms. And even though I can't afford the book now, one day when I become a very well-informed, achieved, and wealthy man,
I'll tell you what. You can afford the book now because I'm going to send you a free copy, okay? If you're going to stay on the line, Hassan, if you'll get Hassan's name and address and send it to my fulfillment house in Florida, Hassan's going to get the second free copy of Psychological Nudity when it comes out around late October, okay? So stay on the line. And I also want to announce right now that there's going to be a price increase around November 1st, the price is going to go up. This initial price is only for my listeners. I'll be right. Oh, I can't go. I was going to take a break. But I don't want to only talk about the book. But, you know, everyone who writes a book in radio does get the boasting rights to talk about it. And you got to understand what this book means to me. So I'm trying not to do it too often, but I'm doing it because it's a very important story to me in that it's my story. It's not political. Although there are political stories on the back end of it. That's why I did not publish it with a big publisher. I don't want to be edited. I have enough trouble with editing every other part of my life. I like freedom of speech. Thank you very much. But there's nothing dirty in the book. I mean, what are you talking about? So let's go back to the Bernie Ward story, the Obama with the robes and the Mount Olympus. How do you feel about him speaking on a Greek column stage built by the same team that put together Britney Spears' last tour? To me, it's a mistake. I think Obama's team is making one mistake after another. It started with the self-aggrandizing tour of Europe, as I said earlier. This is another huge gaffe to present himself as just another celebrity, narcissist, egomaniac. He's a narcissistic egomaniac, that we know, as are all politicians, incidentally. Then that's okay. Talk shows are probably as close to them as you're going to find, if not even bigger, narcissists and egomaniacs. I think it comes with the territory of being a public figure. I mean, to be very honest, how many people are going to tell you that? We're all somewhat, you know, along those lines. But if I go do a stage show, I wouldn't put myself in a Greek temple. Why the Greek temple theme? What is that all about? Obama is not too black for the job. Obama is too green for the job. I said that several months ago. I will say it again. It will be stolen tomorrow, if not immediately. And I'll repeat it again. It's not about his race. It's about his inexperience. Obama is not too black for the job. He's too green for the job. Shall I repeat it till you finally get it? This hysteria is very intriguing. It is a product of the midstream media. It is a product of the midstream media being to the left of Obama and wanting to bring about a socialist revolution in America. Now, many of you hear this and talk about it and its currency on the internet. Do you actually know what we mean by a socialist revolution? Do you understand the danger a socialist revolution would present to you as a freedom-loving American? Let us start with the last major Supreme Court vote, which was the right to bear arms to protect yourself. It passed by one vote, 5-4. And that is a product of George Bush's legacy, which I said might be his greatest legacy, which are Alito and the other gentleman, Mr. Roberts, right? Correct? Right. Were it not for these two centrist judges, our Second Amendment would have been stripped away from us in our lifetime. So everything about your freedom hinges upon the Supreme Court at the end of the day. And as you know, there are some very frail old people on the Supreme Court. Ginsburg, the far-left ACLU lawyer, is very old and very frail. Souter is very old and very stupid and very senile, in my opinion. He might retire at some point, or God knows if he can't control his cruising in parks early in the morning. And so, therefore, who becomes president determines for the future of this country and for your freedoms, who is going to be making these decisions on the Second Amendment, on abortion, on homosexual marriage, on whether to send troops to defend us against Islamofascists, things of that nature. So on that basis alone, you have to watch out for the Temple of the Mount character, because this man, Barack Hussein Obama, represents a socialist viewpoint. And that's it. And I want to repeat again, and I don't think it's offensive. I think it's quotable. And it's the third good quote of the day, and boy, do I give you good ones. And that is, Obama is not too black for the job. He's too green for the job. That's my opinion. Georgia Lee on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. This kid is so immature and unable to, I think he will never fulfill any of the obligations that his office has and requires for what America needs right now. He's going to be dragged through a knothole. He's going to be pushed anyway that Putin and Ahmadinejad, the guys in China, they're going to do whatever they want, and he's going to sit there and try to acquiesce and appease them.
He's going to try and reason with them thinking he's at Harvard.
You can't do that with these people. These people don't care.
Yeah, I'll take a naval aviator any day, even a 72-year-old one, over a guy who thinks that he can negotiate anything because he's a trial lawyer.
It's incredible when I say
thank
that.
You. No, I see it the same way. Is Gore speaking now? Let's hear Al Gore, Al Global Warming Gore. It's a high fly ball to the center ice cap.
What an amazing crowd.
Again, here we go again,
thank
the yelling
you for
again.
This warm welcome. Thank you so much. One of the greatest gifts of our democracy is the opportunity it offers us every 4 years to change course. It's not a guarantee. It's only an opportunity. The question facing us, simply put, is will we seize this opportunity for change? That's why.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden sure represents change.
Why
two trial lawyers?
Strongly that we must seize this opportunity to elect Barack Obama president of the United States.
All right, it's another stump speech. And the word seize, by the way, comes from Bobby Seale's seize the day, I think.
Some said there was not much difference between the nominees of the two major parties, and it didn't really matter who became president. Our nation was enjoying peace and prosperity, and some assumed we would continue.
Okay, I've had enough of it, if you don't mind. I've had enough. I've heard it all before. There's nothing new. You know who gave the best speech yet? The one line that will be remembered? Bill Clinton. I couldn't believe it last night. He said a line, I wish we had it, that America, it was something about might and power. Do you guys have that piece? It was the best line I've heard. I don't know who wrote it for him. It was fabulous. Go back to Gore while I look for this. Maybe
showing
I can
contempt for the Constitution. We'd be protecting the rights of every American, regardless of race, religion, disability, gender, or sexual orientation.
Oh, turn it off. Stop with this. It has nothing to do with any of that garbage. What does sexual orientation have to do with Russia and China, you idiot, you? Give me a break. I'll be back.
True of today's Republican Party. The party itself has on its rolls men and women of great quality, but the last 8 years demonstrate that the special interests who have come to control the Republican Party.
All right, let's turn it off. Special interests. You hear who's talking? A man who is Mr. Special Interest, Al Gore, whose father, the great Senator Gore, went to work for Arm & Hammer at the head of the Occidental Coal Company. And now the son is following in the father's footsteps, making a fortune in the energy business as well. In this case, not selling energy, but selling the fraud of global warming. So there's a lot of ways to make money. You can make it going in. You make it going out. You can make it selling coal. You can make it selling hot air. Let's go back to Corleone for a minute.
And McCain, after they wrecked our economy, it's time for a change. After they abandoned the search for the terrorists who attacked us and redeployed
here we
the
go.
Troops.
You know what I can't stand the most about these people? This is the part I can't stand the most about these people. They're against war, but they're for increasing war in Afghanistan. So they're going to now, what, play chess with us? That Bush invaded the wrong country, but they're going to invade the right country. You hear this? If you think that you're going to get a difference when it comes to the war, you're mistaken. They're going to increase the number of troops in Afghanistan and decrease them in Iraq? Well, they're on the way out of Iraq already. Where do you think Bush would send them next? To Afghanistan. So it's all a shell game at a certain point. That's why it's better to talk about the sexual predators, the sexual people who trade in child pornography, the Obama set design, and things of that nature. I do specialize in psychological nudity, which includes, you know, all of this. Now, here are the three best quotables of my show. Looking at the Bernie Ward case, I can see the Democrats are doing it not. Number two, as for this election, I'd rather have Bush 3 than Marx 2. And finally, Obama is not too black for the job. He is too green for the job. Those are three great quotes. But because I'm not in the press corps, no one heard them except you. I cast these nuggets of genius before you for your entertainment. Salt Lake City, Garrett, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. When you first started talking about this Bernie Ward story, I went to your website and actually read the transcript. It made me sick to the bottom of my stomach. Made me honestly sick, and so.
Well, I didn't know that it was as bad as I learned today from the judge's comments that he looked at pictures of children as young as 2 and 3 years old in full sexual contact with adults. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Even just what was on the transcript made me sick about his kids and whatnot. And I just think 7 years, you know, almost 8 years, you know, when a sentence comes to mind to me for that kind of thing, it castration comes to mind, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I think this man has self-castrated himself for many years. You know, he's a sick man. Can we agree on that he's very sick?
I wish I could be a prison guard there, because I would make it seem like it was 28 years for him.
Well, let's not go there. I'm not into torture. That's all. San Francisco, KNEW. Millie, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's the big topic to you?
Dr. Savage, I have two quick questions in regard to Bernie Ward, but I want to preface it by saying I'm 60 years old, and when I was a little girl, I had
Back away from the telephone just slightly. Just take your mouth a little away. Go ahead, start again. You're 60 years old, and?
When I was a little girl, I learned the kind of things that you talk about on your radio from him, from his firsthand experiences. But now back to, I'd like to discuss them someday, but I have two quick questions in regard to Bernie Ward. Am I to believe that the FBI is not fervently going to go after those that produced the images, that, and why would that be left out?
I don't know. I read that when I was reading the case that they were filmed in Brazil. The pictures were taken in Brazil. What do I know?
And the other question I have, if Bernie Ward, well, he will go to prison, and they have their own morality there, and they wouldn't take too kindly to what he did.
Well, we've heard that, but he's being sent to a minimum security lockup in Lompoc. I thought it was Lompoc, but of course Lompoc makes more sense for this situation. Oh, God, it's been a long day's journey into night here so far in the Savage Nation. I got to tell you, I'm still functioning with one good eye and one half eye here on the right side. With the CAT scan and this and that. But I'm doing it because I love this show. I still love it more than ever. And tonight, of course, is the big speech of the Garland one. And tomorrow is another day. Remember, the sun will rise tomorrow, no matter how bad things look tonight. Remember when things were going bad in my life, some wise old doctor said to me, just remember, tomorrow the sun will come up and it'll be a new day. And if you're arguing with your wife, never take it to bed with you. That was taught to me by an old Italian doctor friend. His parents were married for 80 years. He said they fought every day of their life, but they stopped when they got into the bed. Learn from that.
Savage.